Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Also, go to nationalbugle.com. You can peruse the articles, lots of good news and analysis, a lot of analysis. And then also the link to the CoCertified app. So you can download the CoCertified app. It's only $2.99. Even if it was $3.99, that would be a good deal. Download the app, and you will be on your way to a kosher-free, a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. And that's what we all want. And today, my guest is none other than former Louisiana Representative David Duke. Dr. Duke, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here with you. It's a little bit different for me to be on the other side of the microphone here.
Well, you know, you just got done with your live show with Mark Collett, and you were talking about a lot of stuff. And towards the end of the show, you were talking about the Tucker Carlson show from last night, which was on a bunch of things. He started getting into crime data and white supremacy and things like that. But why don't you pick up more or less where you left off, but you can maybe give a little intro, and we'll dissect what's going on with Tucker now.
Well, you saw, I think, this segment as well. He did a pretty good segment on the Atlanta murders, 8 people that were killed. I think 6 were Asian. Or, excuse me, 5 were Asian, and the rest were not. They were white, and, you know, I think 1 Hispanic, but a very white Hispanic. And he pointed out that this man had a sexual addiction. He obviously had very serious mental problems, and there are certainly mental problems among any race. And the media basically came out and said that what's going on against Asians is actually a matter of white supremacy, and basically portrayed white people really as evil because they were, you know, killing Asians, targeting Asians on purpose or something as a white supremacist, which of course is ridiculous. And because the evidence from the very beginning in this case was a guy that was mentally ill, had a sex addiction, and it just so happens in Atlanta and a lot of the southeastern part of the United States, you have a lot of these massage parlors, which are Asian, dominated by Asians. And there's others involved, too. There's a lot of sex trafficking in it, and it's something that society should have regulated and controlled a long time ago, especially a lot of underage people. There, too, is a lot of child trafficking. He pointed that out. But this had really nothing to do with race. He felt that they were... He had this addiction that he was ashamed about and also was debilitated from, real mental issues because of it. And so he went a little nuts and he started killing people, obviously, very nuts. And but the media then uses this as an excuse to talk about white supremacy and white racism and how white people are so racist and how Asians are being attacked across the country by these white supremacists. And in the program, he just mentioned the fact that the facts of the matter, he had to be very careful how to do it because this is considered racist, too. He just pointed out that the vast majority, even though whites are 60% of the population, which are about double, more than double, about 3 times or 4 times more whites than blacks in the country, per se, most of the actual attacks against Asians are not white people at mm-hmm. all. They're black people. And the idea of attacking white people for attacks on Asians because of racism or supremacism is insane. And if anybody was going to be condemned for that, it would be black people, not for white people, because they're disproportionately attacking Asians. So that's a little bit of the setup. Yeah. Before we go into that, you have a comment?
I don't know if he pointed it out directly or kind of indirectly. He was saying that, you know, most people are... more likely to be attacked by somebody of their own race. He said, though, one exception is Asians. Asians are more likely to be attacked by blacks than they are to be attacked by fellow Asians.
Also, the narrative of the press, and we'll go into this in the show later because I want to go into some crime figures. In fact, you were working with me a little bit earlier on the figures, and you know how many more times, you know, is in terms of real deaths, murders, assaults, rapes. Who's really being victimized? What are the numbers really in terms of cross-racial crimes or crimes of one race against another? And the data is shocking in the sense that I think the data we went over this morning, we can talk about it later, is that 15 times more, you know, it's 15.
There's 15 times more black on white crime than white on black crime.
Exactly. And we're talking about raw numbers, right? So, you know, there are, in fact, I've got the figures. I'll bring those up later in the show. But you would think if you watch the media in terms of the lies of our Jewish controlled media, you would think, my God, you know, white people are just shooting these innocent blacks and killing innocent blacks and hurting innocent blacks. I mean, you can't even watch a show on mainstream broadcast entertainment television, you know, these situation programs and law and order programs without them having a white person raping a black woman, which is almost unheard of. And then you find
when you say almost unheard of, I mean, I've heard of it. I've heard of it a few times, although every time I hear of it, whether it's Tawana Brawley and the white cops, or whether it's the, you know, Duke lacrosse team or whatever, every time I hear about it, it winds up that it was actually a hoax and it didn't happen.
You're right. So we'll just play some of this. And if you want to, because I did record the audio of this, and let's see what we got. So here we go. This is Tucker Carlson last night.
It is always wrong to blame an entire group.
Let me back up a little bit.
The point was making certain that everyone reading it understood the political lesson. Quote, the deliberate use of such terms as the China virus to foster bigotry has played a significant role, LeBron intoned, as if he knew that to be true. He didn't, because there's no evidence. Quote, sadly and predictably, this escalation of racially biased hatred has led to violence. So he's telling us it was entirely predictable, because once you describe a Chinese virus as Chinese, people are naturally going to start murdering Korean women. Could have seen that coming. Harvard couldn't resist getting involved in this. Bigotry against Asians is a pretty sensitive subject at Harvard, given that Harvard University is one of the very few institutions in American life that has publicly admitted committing it. Many schools do, but Harvard got caught. Over the course of many years, Harvard has denied admission to Asian students precisely because they are Asian. If there's a clearer definition of bigotry than that, it's hard to imagine what it might be. Harvard doesn't want to talk about it. A mass murder in Atlanta was the perfect way to change the subject. For the last year, Harvard administrators wrote, Asians, Asian Americans, and Pacific Islanders have been blamed for the pandemic. Again, once again, if you dare to note that the novel coronavirus came from Wuhan, a mentally ill sex addict is certain to shoot up a brothel in Atlanta. Seem far-fetched? The White House press secretary agreed with it.
You know, let's stop it right there and unpack a couple things that he said right there, which you and I have talked about a lot, but it's important that I'm sure many of our listeners on your program or on my program, and we'll maybe even make a video out of this show, aren't familiar with some of the data here. It is true, no question about it, that Asian Americans face an ethnic and a racial discrimination in the Ivy League and many universities in favor of less qualified individuals who are applying for university. Asians will have higher scores, test scores, they'll have better grades, they'll have better marks in high school. They'll go to schools often that have higher qualifications too, and yet they'll find themselves discriminated against in favor of two groups primarily, blacks and Hispanics to a degree, not as much, but especially in the higher institutions and the Ivy League institutions by Jews. Mm-hmm. But we've got to make a point here, and I don't think that's right. I think the best qualified person should get the job or the college admission, or for that matter, even college help, because most middle-class people, I mean, 97% 99% truly of the population of the United States could not afford to send their son or daughter to Harvard or Yale, because the money is so, unless they have some sort of sports scholarship or another scholarship, academic scholarship, and even a lot of those are skewed, right?
Well, you know something. There is actually this trend that's started maybe 10 years ago, and it's mm-hmm. and it's accelerated. Mm-hmm. For these schools like Harvard, and Harvard is sitting on, even 10 years ago, is sitting on $30 billion endowment, and it's probably a lot more than that. It's easily double that now, I would think. They're yeah. sitting on all this money. And so for people who are admitted, who are below like 100, you know, it depends on the school. It could be family income of 60,000, would be a family income of 100,000, whatever. They will give so much they might have it like a sliding scale, but they'll give so much financial aid that Harvard winds up being cheaper than a state college. And in many cases, like if you're below 60,000, you don't pay anything. This is a relatively new thing, but it's also very convenient because they're putting in these affirmative action people. And so, you know, if blacks had to pay for their Harvard education, they probably wouldn't, even if they're accepted to the college, they wouldn't go. Yeah. But if you're
they're being favored, even though white middle class people, they come from a decent home and they're doing better than the black, you know, applicants overwhelmingly. In fact, they are given added points. They're given different ways to be accepted. And there's a discrimination going against white people. They're not going to be accepted.
Right.
But the middle class person, say a person of $70,000, $80,000 a year, they can't afford the tuition for their kids either. Right. I mean, if they don't get the help by the college in terms of being granted this admission. And so if they're discriminated against by race, even though they're better qualified, you know, they're not going to go to a good school, period. It's not like they're going to just be able to go in and pay for some other school that's looking for students. So that's really a massive discrimination.
So what's happened is for the middle-class person, you know, middle-class, if you're from a family of four and the family income's around 100,000, that's still middle-class nowadays. Mm-hmm. If you're a middle-class person, you are going to have to spend more to go to, like, Ohio State or some state school than you will to one of these elite schools, elite private schools, like the Ivy League, or like Duke, or like Stanford, or a whole bunch of others.
Good point.
Dozens of schools now.
So you're really being discriminated. So if they discriminate you when you should be able to go to Harvard, or Yale, or Princeton, or Cornell, or any of these schools, and you're not accepted because of racial discrimination that they're so intensely doing at Harvard, and you end up having to go to a state school, you're in a double quandary, right? You're in a double oppressive situation, aren't you?
Yeah. The state schools now, even state schools, you're talking about probably $30,000 a year tuition. Now, the official price tag on an Ivy League school might be double that, but if you're earning if you're from a middle-class family, it's going to be, the tuition's going to go down probably to like $5,000 or $10,000 for you. You'll get mostly financial aid.
So, and this is another point, if there's been this discrimination, the discrimination that exists against Asian Americans in a lot of these schools is pretty legend, right? It's pretty legend. And there's no question about the fact that they are facing discrimination in these universities for these affirmative action programs. But the people that are being favored really aren't white people.
No.
The massive discrimination that's going on is against white people, and it's about three times more prominent. It's about three times more pernicious than against Asians. And that's just the reality of it, than against Asians. And the biggest recipients of this are the tiniest population group in the country of any of these groups, and that's the Jewish group, which is less than 2% of the population in the United States, and maybe 3%, maybe a little higher in terms of which you could argue they have, you know, higher national merit scholarship scores, they have higher scores in terms of their grades or their background in high school and the rest of these aspects. So there's really been massive discrimination against white people, but that's not been publicized. And even the Justice Department case, which was supposed to defend people from this racial discrimination, they kind of headlined it with Asians as a passing note is affecting whites. But the people who were more massively affected, because approximately, according to Ron Entz's studies and other studies and other demographic studies that have been made, about 72 to 74% of the top national merit scholarships, which is a good gauge of those people going on to higher education, and it's something that they look at for people that want to go to higher education, especially the best schools. They look at the national merit scholarship scores, and in those areas, it's about 74% European American, non-Jewish European American, and yet only 20% of the Ivy League, approximately, is European American. So they're vastly not represented. I mean, more than three times less than they should be by those kind of qualifications. It's pretty shocking, right? And Asians score pretty well too, but the percentages of those who score higher on those scores, the Asian percentage is probably as high of whites. It might be a little bit higher, but being that they're 6% of the population or so, or 5% of the population or so, their still numbers are vastly lower than white people. So the discrimination falls on a number of magnitudes higher against white students than Asians.
Yeah, and Tucker once, about 3 or 4 years ago, kind of skirted on that. He said something about Protestants being underrepresented in elite university or something like that, Protestants. But here's the thing. Here's one thing. I mean, Ron Unz has done these studies, and the colleges don't keep official records distinguishing between Jews and non-Jews. You know, they just lump both groups into the whites. And because Jews are so heavily favored, and even though non-Jewish whites are heavily discriminated against, then you get, you know, you still get like a fairly large white number, a combined white number that doesn't look particularly odd. But once you factor out the Jews, and Ron Unz has used some techniques to factor out Jews, you know, first, like he used the Hillel figures, and some people say, well, the Hillel figures could be exaggerated. But then he's also done things like do a statistical analysis of last names, because there, you can't tell for sure.
It's pretty accurate though.
But
let me explain how that can be accurate. You mind if I go into that for a second?
Well, yeah, but let me just finish this. He's a trained physicist, and he knows these statistical techniques, and maybe you can't look at the name Miller and know whether it's Jewish or not Jewish, but a name like Rubenstein, there are a lot of very common names that are exclusively Jewish, and by knowing, okay, if you combine...
Well, you can extrapolate it, right? I mean...
Yeah, so if you know that if you have a set of like a dozen or two dozen exclusively Jewish names, and then you look at like synagogue memberships, and you can find, oh, these exclusively Jewish names make up 40% of synagogue membership.
Yeah.
Well, then if you look at Harvard and you look for those exclusively Jewish names, then you can extrapolate the same way there. And it matches up pretty well with Hillel.
Well, and the one thing that we didn't talk about right there, but it kind of illustrates why it's so accurate. So what they can do is they can use these algorithms with the names, and then they can project from the names what they would expect the Jewish population would be from those names by comparing it directly to people they've documented who are Jewish descent.
See? Well, hey, we're up on the break, but we'll get right back into that as soon as
all right, let's do that.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
We are back and talking about Jewish and non-Jewish admissions to the Ivy League.
So the way they do this, even though this is not that pertinent to the conversation, other than just see the methodology, so the methodology is pretty good, is the fact that what they can do is they can do algorithms and then look at the number of Jews they can identify and the others, and then they can check that that formula, that algorithm, just like they do algorithms for Google or whatever, and then they can check it against a selection, for instance, a selection of the names that they find and the percentages at the university, and then they can check on a certain select group as a representative sample, and then they can see if they were actually Jewish or not. So they have a way to judge and to project on a statistical way the actual percentages of Jews in these universities by doing these name studies, by using other factors as well. But then they can, by checking the algorithm, by then checking the actual facts of those Jews they vetted out and where they've looked into their histories and their past, so they have a good idea. And of course, you're right about Hillel. Obviously, there's two factors running with Hillel. Hillel and Jewish groups are constantly trying to tell us that Jews are smarter, that they study harder, or they're you know, they work harder in school or something, and they're more educated, and to kind of claim that whatever Jewish influence or power they have in society is not because they're getting some sort of special privilege or some sort of discriminatory policy, but because they're just smarter, they're just more capable. But at the same time, they want to be accurate, and they put out figures of, you know, pretty good figures, because they really do vet their own people, and their own data shows in most cases, at least they can't obviously check and cover everything, but they want to brag about their numbers in a lot of the schools. Like at Tulane University, say 35% of the undergraduates are Jewish. That's not an Ivy League school, but it's the closest to it. Very expensive school, by the way, too. And so there really is amazing discrimination going on against, for better qualified Gentiles being discriminated against less qualified Jews. And the data that you saw and I saw in examining this pointed to the fact that Jews are about 14 times overrepresented in their merit would justify.
That was something Ron Unz came up with. Ron Unz, by the way, is Jewish, and he is an example of a very smart Jew. We'll give him credit for that. And you know something? He's run for Senate in California a couple of times. One time he did pretty well. He came pretty... He had a good showing against Pete Wilson in the Republican primaries back in the 1990s. I think that was who he was running against. Mm-hmm. But he did pretty well. And there's about to be a recall election for governor in California. I would like to suggest Ron Unz throw his hat in there.
That'd be great.
Governor of California.
So to wrap up the thing about Unz's showing, okay, so he shows that, yes, Jews do pretty damn good in these tests. And by the way, there's also a lot of evidence. I just looked up the Pew Research polls. I looked up the Gallup polls, which they do ethnicities and they do religious groups. And it's pretty fair to talk about Jewish performance by the Jewish religion, which is also compared to, even though Gentiles are many different religious groups and Christian denominations, that still, I mean, you can actually look at certain denominations, the Christian denominations, which are a subset of white people. But it's really interesting to find out that Anglicans, Anglican Christians, Episcopalian Christians are almost identical to Jews in the college graduate levels on the averages, so the percentages of those that go on to get college degrees, and even postgraduate degrees. It's pretty interesting. It does become quite different in postgraduate degrees, because that's where the selection progress, our process even gets more elite. As we've talked about many times, Alana Kagan was headed, you know, was appointed from, I think, the University of Chicago to Harvard Law. And there's no more important law school in America next to Chicago, University of Chicago, I think, but than Harvard. I mean, Harvard is the source of more Supreme Court justices, more federal judge appointments, more state, you know, Supreme Court appointments than any other university in the United States of America. And when Elena Kagan was put in charge of that, she even made it more Jewish in terms of those admissions, and almost all of her, it's just amazing to look at it when you actually look at it.
I actually went through the names of, I think it was 32 people she appointed.
Yeah, and as professors in the law.
29. It was a majority Jews that she had appointed.
Out of 2%,
yeah.
Now, Hillel, you know, says, we can say with Hillel tries to keep track, they say they're honestly at tracking this, and I've seen different figures in Hillel different years. Mm-hmm. But I've seen even as high as 57%, and the last figure I saw from Hillel was over 50% of the graduate students, right, at Harvard, the graduate schools, you know, of like in doctoral candidates, PhD schools and things like that, being Jews, which is really important in terms of Jewish influence.
It is.
Now, because when you get a Jewish honor,
you hold that thought.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back, and Dr. Duke, you were just talking about the predominance of Jews in certain graduate schools.
And Hillel, I can you can look up Hillel, and you can, because they brag about, and they want Jews to know that if they go to this particular school, they can have a big, strong Jewish community there, or whatever the size of it is. They talk about whether they have certain B'nai B'rith organizations and Hillel groups on campus. Whether they have BDS going on campus or not, all this other thing. So they give a lot of things important for Jews. And they were saying that Harvard, the last thing I saw, that 50% of the people they were putting into graduate school are Jews. Now, that's from 2% of the population. And again, there are as many college graduates which should be eligible, right, for advanced degrees or to go to graduate schools. The degrees graduating from university are very similar, right? And Episcopalians are just about the same as Jews are percentage-wise. And Episcopalians, of course, are pretty non-Jewish and pretty non-Jewish white, right? And so it's really interesting to see this. So even if you're saying that there are 50% more Jews from 2% of the population, you would say, okay, that gives them 3%, right?
Well,
so there's a huge evidence that there's massive privilege and massive discrimination against non-Jewish white people. And it's not just Episcopalians, because again, the numbers, when you have 98% of the population being non-Jewish, 60% or over 60% of the white population being non-Jewish, and then you consider there's a lot of white geniuses out there and incredibly educated and top-notch people, there's massive discrimination against white people in the graduate position.
So,
and by the way, just one more thing, before we go further, but do you realize, and I know you do, but that the impact of having a graduate degree from the Ivy League, if you got a PhD from Harvard in anthropology, you'll be the one that the Jewish media kind of pulls out the question on a particular aspect of anthropology, our biology, our medicine.
Oh, you're the one who's going to get the
book contract
and the tenure track faculty appointment to another elite school,
or any of the university that you might is hiring.
Regarding the Hillel figures, every now and then I see a Hillel figure, which I think is kind of curious. It's an outlier or maybe inaccurate, but overall, the overall narrative is that that Jews make up at least 25% of these elite schools, and we're not talking strictly about the eight Ivy League universities, but we're talking about dozens of elite schools. You Tulane, Duke, you got these smaller schools like Swarthmore and Amherst and Williams, and you just got a whole bunch of schools, and they're at that 25, sometimes like George Washington University, more like 35%. Tulane is way up there like that too. And if you were to say, and I've seen this argument be made, where they say, well, okay, we're 2% of the population, but our bell curve is shifted over. You know, they'll sometimes say, well, our average IQ is 115, which is not, but you know, even if you were to say it was 115 and their whole bell curve is shifted over, you might be able to make, and if everybody's first choice was Harvard, right, you might be able to make a case where, okay, you would expect 20-something percent of Jews at Harvard. But if that was the case, then at all of these second, third, fourth, 20th, 30th place schools, you wouldn't see the same trend. It wouldn't work the same way. It could only work in the extreme. But the fact that these dozens of elite schools all show the same, they all show the same trend of 20, 30% or more Jewish students. Well, I'll tell you what Ron Unz's explanation is. Ron Unz's explanation is ethnic networking, because they don't have to go just by test scores. In fact, in some states, they're not even looking at test scores anymore. They don't have to go based on grades. They're going based on things like essays. And what can you do in an essay? Well, Ron Unz says what you can do in an essay is talk about your grandmother being a Holocaust survivor. You drop these indicators that you are a Jew, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, it really is amazing, and it also shows to the hypocrisy of what's happening. And for instance, the New York Times is a publication that tells us every day that race has nothing to do with it. Race is just social construct. And then intelligence has nothing to do really with heredity. Or there's no difference in races among heredity. And then at the same time, the New York Times runs articles by Wade Wilson and telling us and explaining how Jews are a race.
Not Wade Wilson. What's his something Wade? Is it Thomas? It's something Wade.
Nicholas Wade.
That's right. Nicholas Wade.
So, yeah, Nicholas Wade. And how Jews are a race, and articles by other Osterer, another Jewish geneticist, showing Jews are a race. And you have the New York Times constantly telling us, like the article that was the most recent article, The Secrets of Jewish Genius. And they have a big picture of Einstein, right? In fact, whenever the New York Times talks about a brilliant person, it's always Einstein. It's not Newton, who's probably the most important scientist in the history of the world, developed the whole system of mathematics and the laws of Newton, where his name's being taken off of it because he's white. But it's like, The Secrets of Jewish Genius. And they run an article on this just a few months ago, actually, not that long ago. And the article basically, he quotes in there from major geneticists saying that Jews, in a hereditary way, that they are born with higher IQs, and they have higher IQs. And the New York Times, I guess they fooled themselves. They thought they could get away with this without having some of the leftists call them to stake. And then after about 2 days, they took down that part of it. They edited out part of it. But this is after the damage has been done, right? So it shows up on some search for the article after. But what most people saw was the original one. And they also showed documents showing that heredity is an impact and they have a higher IQ. And yet, again, that can be completely refuted. Also, it is a mantra in the Jewish controlled media about how of Jewish genius, how over 20% of the recipients of the Nobel Prize are in fact Jewish, which proves, you know, they're the most incredibly achieving people on the planet, right? Because my God, the Nobel Prize is supposed to celebrate the very top of medicine, the very top of physics, the very top of mathematics, the very top of good work such as Nobel Peace Prize. It's just like the, you know, these are the greatest human beings of all. And yet the evidence is overwhelming that just like Harvard, and by the way, the difference that you have these Jews being overrepresented 14 times more than their merit would recognize in the United States, even though you have that, we know that the only way that's possible then is because of the fact that Jews influence and control the selection process at Harvard by discriminating against non-Jews, especially non-Jewish European Americans. So we find out that, so I have an article by Jan Burrow, who was a member of the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden, which is the institute which selects and has a great part in selecting Nobel Prizes. And it's been controlled in terms of the foundation, like for much of this century, it's been controlled by a guy named Marcus Storch, who in fact was a big Jewish supremacist whose father was the head of the World Jewish Congress for Sweden. And this is an organization that says we're going to advance Jewish interests in every way, economically, socially, education-wise, and everything. And you can show the bias of these selections for these Nobel Prizes during his tenure. And you can show it over the years because the media, six of the seven top newspapers in Sweden, which had a big deal to influence, along with the broadcast networks, to influence recipients of Nobel Prizes in all of these fields, because the ones that they were touting were Nobel Prize recipients were overwhelmingly Jewish and Jewish-owned publications. And he did an article talking about the incredible Jewish bias of the Nobel Prizes. You know, is it Jewish genius or Jewish privilege? And in there, he shows that Jews are 1/5 of 1% of the world's population. And when you look at the top performing doctors, researchers, physicists, mathematics, people around the world, Jews still constitute a very, very tiny percent, far less than even 1% of the world's top scientists, even in academic institutions. It's way less than that, actually. And it's really amazing when you look at that, and yet they have been about 20% of the appointees. And it's only one person from all these fields who are appointed. Mm. So, you know, is there really a way to determine the greatest achiever in these disciplines, like the greatest doctoral research in the world? It's almost impossible, right? So the truth is that there are many more successful scientists, leaders, groundbreaking, game-changing scientists. I give an example of that. A few years ago, you had a number of different groups up for the Nobel Prize, and usually they do each group 1 year, they consider, and then they go to a different group. So one of the sections set up for the Nobel Prize or possible Nobel laureates were the Genome Project, which was taking the American or the genome and plotting all the genes of human beings, of the races of mankind, or mankind itself, which offered the greatest single offer for better medicine, better prediction.
The Human Genome Project. It was really, really
amazing. It was a billion-dollar project. It was top scientists in the world.
How many people got Nobel Prizes out of that?
None. The guy that got the people that got the Nobel Prize for that scientific research about the human body, the biological research, were two Jewish scientists who were studying the DNA of the Elegans worm.
Yeah.
A worm.
Oh, well, so, you know, I can accept that that standard IQ tests or SAT tests or whatever which measure certain aspects of verbal or numerical ability. I can accept that, Jews might have a higher average than whites. If you have you know, natural selection, if you have if Jews over the past 1,000 years or so were more likely, the Jews who had better verbal or mathematical skills were more likely to be able to reproduce and have big families, then the genes they carry that allow for those higher skills would become more common. So I can see the mechanism, how that could take place.
And by the way, when they do that...
I just want to add one thing to it. But of course, at the same time, there's other genes that could be under selection too, like ethnocentrism. The Jews who are more ethnocentric and are going to participate in Jewish trading networks, for instance, or perhaps the Jews who are more paranoid. There's a lot of other things that a lot of other personality traits that could be amplified through the exact same process.
And by the way, they're also, when they talk about this, they're only talking about one subset of Jews, which are pretty popular in European countries, which are Ashkenazi Jews, right? The truth is there's no evidence that the Sephardim Jew, which is traditional Jews, and they're also mixed a lot, and by the way, they constitute a bigger proportion of Israel. And Israel, by the way, the Jewish IQ is much, much lower. But Ashkenazi Jews themselves also correspond very, very closely. And there's different arguments about this by these Jewish scientists. Well, like we talked about earlier, Episcopalians, right? And Presbyterians. If you look at different subsets of white people, you look at certain Eastern European white groups like Poles and Russians and so forth, they also test very, very high in IQ, very comparable to Ashkenazi. So you take part of the Jews compared to the entire Jewish existence, so that doesn't make, you know, so that doesn't prove any superiority. Secondly, as you said, it's, you know, if you have a system of the... Their power is definitely not based because they're just smarter than everybody else. Their power is based, they are smart people, and we're not saying they're not, but their power is based in their ethnocentrism. Their power is based where they support each other, where they teach Jews from the time they're born to help each other and discriminate in favor of each other and support each other in taking over institutions or corporations or universities, and they do that routinely. And also, another interesting aspect of that, the intelligence that they show a superiority in is the most part of intelligence that's affected, and that affects your overall intelligence score, by the way, your IQ score, and that is verbal IQ, because verbal IQ and verbal questions with the language makes a big difference in terms of educational background and how much somebody reads or how much do people discuss those kinds of intellectual ideas. And their IQ difference is explained almost wholly by verbal. They're actually a little lower than many Europeans in terms of their spatial IQ. Yet we know that spatial IQ is the root of scientific inquiry. It's a root of science.
Have you ever tried to read a contract, like, you know, contract, legal documents, legalese? Yeah. To what extent is legalese really kind of Hebrew? You know, like Hebrewified or something?
Because the whole Jewish religion is based on the Talmud, right? Where they're arguing about these.
They'd be doing it on purpose to make some sort of secret code that only they can understand.
Yeah, the whole what Jewish yeshivas are about are studying this huge document called the Talmud, which is all these different interpretations of these legalesque things, you know, and that is the whole nature of their education, and that might give you a little advantage in verbal IQ because you're used to manipulating words, and they can do that. They have a good verbal IQ. They are good propagandists, right? They know how to sell that used car.
So speaking for myself, I really don't have a problem with Jews being perhaps average higher IQ. I don't have a problem with Jews being successful, having money. I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
My entire problem with the Jews is that their group behavior is detrimental to the group interests of certainly my own white people, but of so many other people as well. That's the problem I have with them. It's not their success, but it's their political behavior, which is detrimental to other people.
Well, of course, that's why we have this objection. It's not because Jews are smarter or whether or not they're smarter. It's what they're doing. And we object to their discrimination against us, as we've proven today on this program. We object to the fact that Jews are unduly privileged and selected for Nobel Prize winners. And we object to the fact that we are told routinely that Jews are superior to us, right? And this is by the same media that tells us any sort of racial supremacy is bad. We object to the Jews controlling the New York Times and the mass media and in politics telling us routinely how evil Europeans are. And yet they're saying this out of institutions where they've exerted a supremacy, I mean a Jewish ethnic supremacy like I've heard from years like this.
Well, we're up on the last break.
What?
We'll have to finish up after the last break.
Okay, cool.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back talking to former Louisiana Representative David Duke. And my question is, I've been saying that really the main thing we need to do is be able to talk. Gilad Osman says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to stifle the discussion of Jewish power. If we were able just to talk about Jewish power, would that be enough? Is that what we need?
That's certainly the beginning. But we have to make an understanding of these things. They are the controllers of the society. They are the people who have the supremacy over the media. Look at Facebook, look at Google, look at Zuckerberg, look at Sergey Brin and Page, Jews that control Google, and they're able to censor anything they don't like. they're able to promote anything they do like or anything that they see as their advantage. And they do have organizations that specifically align Jews to support what their agenda is, whether it be the wars for Israel and the Middle East, whether it be their policies on, you know, on same-sex marriage for America and Europe, but at the same time they outlaw that in Israel, are they able to have open borders for Europe and at the same time have strict immigration laws in Israel. So this is a real fact. And Jewish power, it's not so much just Jewish power. Jewish power is there. It's ubiquitous. They do have privilege. They do have a power based on racism and discrimination. But they use that power not simply to advance their own interests, but in a way that is super damaging to our interests, like the tremendous theft of the international banking corporations like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, the depressions that they create, the economic disaster they create, the trade policies that they may create, the issues like the COVID response. They dominate the media. They dominate this establishment, and they've damaged hundreds of millions of people, billions of people really in the world by the COVID response, and they didn't allow a freedom of speech there. So it's not just a question of Jewish power. It's the fact that in pursuit of that power and using that power, they do many, many things that are damaging to non-Jews and to humanity, and that are very contradictory to what they do for their own people in Israel. So they've got to know that these policies like open immigration to Europe, which they don't allow for Israel, are affecting the birth rate in Israel and making sure that's high while trying to restrict the birth rate of Europeans. You know, it's just amazing the hypocrisy. And this power is not just a problem of power. If they were being beneficial to everybody, and not just racistly and supremacist fashion, advancing Jewish interests at our detriment, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But noticing the power is a first step for sure in making sure that we do have our freedoms, human rights, and the rights of even our very existence and our independence around the world that are so precious to, I think, all of humanity and including the European people.
Okay. Hey, we got 30 seconds. I'm going to ask one last question. Do you think it would be worth fighting a war against China in order to preserve Zio-American supremacy in the world?
No, I don't think the Chinese are at war against us. They're not leading the effort to make Europeans a minority in their own country, to literally wipe us out, because that's exactly what's going on here. The Jewish elite is actively doing this, and they're behind these programs and policies. Plus, the moral degeneracy and decay and porn and drug abuse and destructive policies that are hurting not just the European people, but for all people around the world. So okay. That's my issue.
Thank you so much, Dr. Duke, for joining me today. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
You're welcome.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.